Luck on Sunday, brought to you by Whirlpool. Bet with the world.
Today's the only day where you'll get as little as 2 minutes on Constitutional because there is no news. And the news is there is no news. There's no further news until tomorrow. And tomorrow, the news will be late. Ben Pauling, what can Nicky Henderson do between now and the Cheltenham Festival? And do you think he'll end up running?
He can do no more than he's doing. I think he's handled it all brilliantly. There's nothing worse than publicly seeing your horse disappoint. But there's probably, in hindsight, the best thing that could have happened, because if it had just come from seven barriers that he'd worked averagely on Farringdon Road, people would be saying, oh, what's this, what's that? So it's a tough situation. My view on whether he will or whether he won't, my old boss has always erred on the side of caution, but he has got a horse which is head and shoulders in my eyes above anything else. He's obviously fit. He did have a racecourse gallop, whether it went well or not, so the finishing touches in the fitness-wise have been done. And I for one, really hope he does run. He's a horse that I'm in awe of. Most of the industry are in awe of. We all want to see the champions. We've been frustrated with not seeing him enough.
Yeah, we all want him to
run.
There's mechanics of it. Antibiotics, can he...?
Yes, antibiotics are proven. There's different forms of antibiotics that we use. Some are more aggressive than others.
So you can actually run on
You can run on antibiotics. Mild antibiotic you can run on, you can inject up to the day of the race, not on the day of the race. But it is not something that's deemed ideal. But if Constitution Hill's blood picture comes back, it's better or it's going the right way. His track wash is now clean. He doesn't have any mucus in there. He's done his fitness work and he's the best horse by a country mile. I really hope the blood result can give us a chance.
We know what you'd do. You just bash on and run it.
I've always been a half glass half full person. I just really hope that Nicky's allowed to make that decision himself.
Okay. Okay. Any reason why he wouldn't be?
What?
Allowed to make the decision.
He is, but he won't feel pressure, but there's enormous amount of public wanting to see his horse run, including myself, including you.
Yeah.
But Nicky will make the right decision.
OK. Let's talk about Godolphin, because things are changing in Newmarket, Lee, it seems. What's happening here and how concerned should the industry be about a potential gradual scaling back?
Yeah, so Godolphin gave public comment this week on redundancies that are taking place within the yard of former champion trainer and former Godolphin number one trainer, Syed Bin Sarur. No numbers were given on this. Hugh Anderson, the managing director of Godolphin over here, spoke about how some staff will be redeployed and positioned elsewhere within the Godolphin business, presumably potentially some with Charlie Appleby, but others would be leaving the organisation. Now, that has to be a concern, and it's obviously desperately sad for the individuals concerned as well. What we don't know at this stage is if that is part of a wider Godolphin restructuring, or if it is because, to an extent, Syed Bin Sarur's yard is underperforming and they've just decided to put fewer horses with Syed.
But as an industry, Ben, do we not have to face the inevitable consequence that beyond Sheikh Mohammed, there is not a succession plan that is obvious to us, and therefore the industry is going to be reshaped quite significantly?
Very much so. I mean, his involvement and Godolphin's involvement has been so huge for the last, I don't know, X amount of years, that if it scales back slightly, it might not be...
We're talking 5 decades of the redevelopment of Newmarket, really.
It might not be the worst thing in the world. There's from an outside looking in, there's certain parts of having such a powerhouse so dominant within a town has made it very hard for other trainers to match those wages and be able to retain their staff and things like that. So I'm not saying losing Godolphin is anything but a negative, but there might be some positives if there's slight scaling back and staff maybe have to rejig slightly.
OK. Let's talk about John Dance, because after several months, Lee, there was a really significant development in this case yesterday or the day before?
This was midweek.
Or midweek, was it?
Yeah.
We were just a bit slow to pick up on it. Or I was, anyway.
The news was that the Financial Conduct Authority has successfully obtained a judge ruling that their case against John Dance, former very high-profile racehorse owner, can move from being a primarily civil proceedings case to one that has criminal investigation prioritised. And the judge's ruling contained further information in relation to the case against Mr. Dance, who we know from horses like Lawrence and many others.
So it is now, but effectively he said this has to be a criminal case
because of the
first. And then the civil action after
and
that.
And some of the numbers, and forgive me, Nick, for reading this out, because these are big numbers and too big for my brain to remember.
Pete Skirgle wrote this up in your paper Friday.
Would have been Friday, yeah. So the FCA investigation found that there had been, alongside the shortfall, the £40 million shortfall in client funds, there'd been an increase of about £25.6 million in the sums flowing from WealthTech, that was Mr. Dance's company, to Mr. Dance, taking the total to about £49 million. And the discovery of alleged early misconduct with suspicious flows of client money and assets of about £21 million
Yikes.
For WealthTech to Mr. Dance. This is colossal.
Now, the process is going to take its course, and there's not anything that we can do to affect that. But the BHA will be aware, Ben, that there are horses still in training, effectively, in a yard that is no longer occupied by James Horton, because he moved to Newmarket to do his own thing, quite understandably and quite rightly. Still a load of horses and staff being employed there while this is going on in the background. It poses a significant headache.
It does. It's it sounds like it's astronomical.
Yeah, it is.
But it's quite terrifying. You hear the sums of money like that. But we are still, as you say, quite rightly, it's an industry issue because we've got people.
Well, we've got people and horses to look after.
Yeah,
but there were horses in other yards where John Dance had horses, and those horses, in effect, the trainers are not receiving, in some cases, training fees because the money isn't being released to pay them. So there are individuals who are owed huge sums of money, as well as all the creditors of Mr. Dance's business.
Feed
merchants. That are in a really difficult position.
Yeah. Now, the subject of hunting and horse racing and the links therein are always arouse debate, probably disproportionate to its meaningful place in the world. But Kim Bailey alerted me on my podcast on Friday to the fact that the shadow DEFRA secretary, Steve Reed, had told us that trail hunting, so the replacement for what was hunting with dogs or hunting the Wild Animals Act of the late 1990s, trail hunting would be banned under a new Labour government. I don't know quite how you ban chasing an aniseed scent, but that's what he's suggesting. Now, the impact for racing, as I understood it, was that if this got disbanded, then it would disband the social institutions that are existing hunts, and therefore, what impact would that have on point-to-pointing and national hunt racing? This is not, Lee, a debate on the ethics of trail hunting, such as they are, more a question of whether it would have a knock-on effect on the amateur branch of the sport.
And I think inevitably it would have a knock-on effect. It's hard to see how point-to-point racing in Britain, which is already a sport that wouldn't be in the rudest of rude hells, certainly compared to its Irish counterpart, it's hard to see how that could exist if those hunts who support the point-to-points didn't exist. I still am very sceptical about whether
You could enforce this legislation.
Well, even whether they would try. Steve Reid, the Shadow Environment Secretary, has said that they would ban trail and drag hunting in the first Labour term, partly because, and Tim Bonner on your pod from the Countryside Alliance acknowledged that some hunts are in effect breaking the law at the minute. And
yeah, they're not the architects of their own destruction.
Absolutely, yeah, and there can be no excuse for that. But just in terms of politics, I would be very surprised if Keir Starmer's Prime Minister, in his first term, wants to get embroiled in this sort of legislation. For a start, he's going to have many more pressing and important things to deal with.
And there will be people saying, right, well, really, does the amateur branch of the sport have any place in a professional world? And does it really, you know, touch you, Ben, at all?
Well, it's something incredibly, I'm incredibly passionate about. Without points pointing, I would never have been realistically in the industry. Personally, I rode as a point-to-point jockey for years, but, you know, not that many years, but a few, and terribly at it. But it was a way in for me. Point-to-pointing is changing in the fact that it's less about... I was just the local farmer's son that wanted to have a go, and there were a lot of us doing that at those at that stage, and point-to-pointing slightly on the back foot now because it's less of that and it's more sort of... semi-professional, and that's...
So it's a trading point, a bit
like
that.
Yeah, and the Irish are just professional. I mean, it's an amateur-professional industry.
Amateur and only in name.
Only in name. Yeah. But all the point-to-points are put on by volunteers. Without the volunteers, you don't have that. Without the point-to-points, you don't have an introduction level for jockeys, for point-to-point trainers to become a professional trainer, for owners to step up the ladder. It would be a disaster if we lost our point-to-pointing. It's a huge part of it. It's been steeped in history. The connections and the way it all works together with national hunt racing in particular are huge, and it would be a disaster.
Right, let's move on. Jason Watson has found himself in the wires, Lee. He has failed a medication test. Bit more complicated than at first glance, this.
Yeah, so this occurred at a hearing on Tuesday. In Bahrain, where Jason is spending the winter riding, he was handed a one-month suspension for...
So that's applicable worldwide, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all these things, exceptionally rare for other jurisdictions not to apply them. This was because of a positive test for a notifiable medication. Now, Jason has... commented publicly on this, and he has said he's never offended in this regard in the past, and he says it was due to an over-the-counter sleep medication. He said he's been talking about having had insomnia recently, and he took this. He was advised it would be fine to take. It turned out it wasn't fine to take. He's only received a month. He'll miss the Lincoln, but that would suggest that the Bahraini authorities concurred with Jason's explanation. But it does, again, act as a reminder that jockeys have to be so immensely careful what they put into their systems. And if they're not 100% sure that it's safe, don't take it.
OK, that's Jason Watson, who is going to miss a month. But we don't actually know the details of what precisely it is that he's tested for. But he's off for a month because of a failed test in Bahrain. Let's move on. Advantage Cobden in the Jockeys' Championship. Now, Sean Bowen pulled an important win back yesterday with Thunder Rock, but Sean's obviously found it hard to really get momentum straight off the bat. Ben, is it all over bar the shouting now, do you think, or can Sean Bowen come roaring back into the spring?
I really hope it's not all over bar the shouting, because there's nothing better than a title race.
Some people find it desperately dull, don't they? But
I think it's brilliant, and I think... In Harry and Sean, you've got two incredibly relaxed, laid-back characters who will go about it in the right way.
They're not Dunwoody and Maguire, are they?
No, they're going
definitely
to be,
not.
They're going to be riding at the same meetings. Mm. You know, they're both from southern England, really, in the areas they tread. They're both great guys. I've always got on very well with both of them. I've gave Cobby a few winners recently. Mm.
Do you think you'll give him a Cheltenham Festival winner?
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's
see what he did there.
Well, yeah,
what he did
he's incredibly. Yeah,
he's very good, isn't he?
You normally trust him, but there, I'm not so sure. But I'm going back to it. I spoke to Sean 3 days ago, and the good news for Sean is that when he first came back, I think his knee was okay. It's getting stronger every day and he's much more comfortable. So it's going to allow him the opportunity to really give it a kick. Mm-hmm. And he's got plenty of backing. He's very liked. And I wouldn't say it's over by any stretch of the imagination, but I just hope it's a ding-dong and they're two good guys and they deserve it.
Lee?
Yeah, I like a title fight. I don't think Harry Cobden was up for a title fight before this season. I went down to see him at his farm in Somerset during the week for entering the post today. Quick plug there. And he spoke about how it was only really over the summer that he decided with his agent Sam Strong to have a go at it. They've enjoyed having a go at it. He's now built up a decent lead. I think what's interesting too was the way he spoke about how he sees himself as someone who's at 25 now. He thinks he'll finish at 35. Doesn't want to go on too long. Yeah, and he wants to basically make as much now as he can in these 10 years he's got left, as he sees it, as a jockey, and that he and Sean had spoken about it, and they actively want to plug and promote this title fight, which would be good for them, but it would also be good for the sport.
Yeah, he and I were discussing last week, actually, on this show, we're both thinking of sort of packing it in by 35.
Really?
Yeah. I never thought that we'd devote a section of this programme to traffic measures in Newmarket, but there we are. It is sort of quite important at the moment because Newmarket's a bit of a disaster, Lee, traffic-wise.
It could have
quite an impact. Explain to me what's going on, if you can.
Well, all the things that we've discussed in this talking point section, Nick, and
in your finest partridge,
the irony is that of all the things
major trunk
roads
in East Anglia
for trainers in Newmarket, this is probably the thing that's got the most irate. So there's an issue with the bypass. So the A14, I think the A11 as well, it is said that there are major issues with flooding. Water has come from, well, the sky, but also from underneath the ground as well, apparently. There's ever such a mess. And as a result, traffic is pouring through Newmarket High Street. David Milnes, our Newmarket correspondent, he's done a piece on it, saying that it can take 2 hours to do 1 mile at the moment. And the Jockey Club Estates are saying to trainers, my sister was you, Ben, they're saying to trainers, you need to get on your hack. You need to reacquaint yourself with your hack and ride to the gallops, because if you try to drive, you ain't going to get there before 2 o'clock. So in Newmarket, this is clearly a serious situation, and it underlines why Ben was very wise to buy a golf course.
That's what you need to do. It's what everyone needs to do. Buy yourself a golf course.
Drive around in buggies.
However,
yes,
this is...
There's more, is there?
No. Do you know what? No, there isn't anymore. That's the situation with the traffic in Newmarket. Thanks very much to the eye in the sky there. And those were this week's talking points.
Luck on Sunday, brought to you by Whirlpool. Bet with the world.